If God is for us, who could be against us? No one. There's nothing that's stronger than God. But there is one who'd like us to believe that he's as strong as God. We're talking about Satan. And we're going to talk about resisting Satan this morning. Remember the movie, The Passion of the Christ? Real powerful movie. When it came out, that's been quite a few years ago now, Mel Gibson was asked, why was the devil portrayed by a person you could not clearly identify? Sometimes it looked like a beautiful woman, sometimes it looked like an ugly man. Sometimes his character looked good, and sometimes it was ugly. Mel Gibson said at a screening, he said, I wanted it this way, because that is how the enemy is. Evil looks good until you turn it around a little. You see the whole spectrum of who it is and what it is. You see the ugliness. And what a statement. And isn't that how Satan is? But you know, today, we've taken Satan and we've turned him into a cartoon character. He appears in scary movies, wrappers of candy bars. Some movies, Satan's actually the hero. Our society has taken Satan and just turned him into things that we want to look at. I was watching TV the other night and a commercial came on. It was this famous actress, and she was saying how she was an actress and a mom and all this stuff, and how sometimes life is confusing. You know where she turns? For a special introductory price of 75 cents, you can call the psychic hotline and they'll advise you in the things that you should do to be successful. I looked at that and I said, man, 75 cents a minute and we can get all of our questions answered. Well, maybe we can get Satan's answers, but we're not going to get God's answer for 75 cents a minute. There's evidence of Satan's work all over this world, and it's just things like that. And the ways that we've taken cartoons and turned him into a hero or some benevolent creature ready to help us. But you see, Satan's always been like that. He counterfeits God. He always wants to appear something that's good, something that we need. And that clever approach makes Christians just as susceptible as non-Christians to his deceit. You see, the lost had no clue in how to identify who Satan is or what he is. But as Christians, we have a clear gospel message to help us, to guide us and lead us away from his schemes. In any war, you have to know who the enemy is. And today, we're going to talk about our enemy. And this is war. This is spiritual warfare. I believe in this war between good and evil for Christians today. I cannot believe how far our society has dipped. And you know, I believe that every generation before me has said the same thing. But I look now and sometimes I'm dumbfounded. I've told my wife, told Robin the commercials come on TV, and I said, that would embarrass me if my granddaughter was sitting here in the living room with me. How can they put those kind of things on public TV where there'd be kids sitting? So for every Christian, for us to be victorious here on earth, we must know who the enemy is and be prepared for battle. You know, we're always telling people, put on the full armor of God and you'll be protected. Well, the full armor of God is only part of it. You could be standing there arrayed in full armor, and if you don't know who the enemy is, you're still going to be defeated. It's like sending a ship out in the ocean with no anchor. Or an enemy, or a soldier into battle without knowing who he's going to fight. So we have to learn how to resist Satan in the times of trouble in our lives. So the first thing we're going to talk about is we have to know who he is. You guys think you know who Satan is? You might have half the picture or part of the picture. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, walks among about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's a biblical description of Satan. Turn your TV on, you'll see a cartoon character. I saw one movie where he was smoking a cigar, walking around leading an army for good. I think that must come out of a comic book. But we've reduced the image of Satan to a fairy tale, and we're hurting ourselves. Let's get it straight this morning. Satan is a real created being. Satan exists. He's not a puff of smoke. He's not a thought. He walks about this world trying to see who he can devour. And we're falling into his traps more and more and more. The Bible tells us his first job was what? Satan was an angel. But he didn't believe in God. Or he didn't believe God. He wanted to be better than God. He was obsessed with his self and with his pride. And we know what happened. He rose up against God and was kicked out. That's right, Rodney. Kicked out of heaven and sentenced to a future in hell. But since that time, he's been trying to rob God of his glory. He's been dragging others down with him. And that's what he hopes for. You know, big thing today is you see people wanting profiles on business websites and all these things. They want your profile. They want to know who you are. LinkedIn, you know, I had to be signed up to that when I was working, and they want a profile of who you are and what you do so others could follow you or offer you jobs or whatever. So we're going to profile Satan today. Isaiah 14 says he's a fallen angel. We've already said that. He was a one-time messenger of God. That's what angels are. He was a heavenly creation, as all the angels. But he desired God's place. He wanted to rule his own life. He wanted to be in control of what he did and his destiny. But you know what? We all struggle with that, don't we? We all want to be in control of our own lives. We want to have the final say what happens and what we do. But actually, all the power and all the glory and all the honor of God is God's and God alone. As Christians, we must realize that no matter how much we feel in control, we're not. But Satan was so full of pride, he thought he could be in control. He could place himself above God. But see, for us, we have to realize that God is in control of all we do and all we have. And we can only understand that when we sense God's power in our lives. Satan rejected God's power. He tried to rise above. Satan is a constant accuser of God's people. That's his best job. In Job 1:6 it said, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, accuser, also came among them." Now accuser, that's Satan's best thing. He accuses the saints before God. He continues to try to find fault in our lives. But when he comes with accusations, who's there? Jesus. He's our advocate. And as Satan comes before God and is accusing us, Jesus says, "That's covered in the blood. I have that." So then Satan realizes there is no way God will hear these accusations. So he has to change his tact a little bit. Jesus has us covered. So Satan starts to whisper in our ears. He said, "You're not worthy. You're not worthy to be called a son or a daughter of God." He says, "You're no good. You sin. You're liars. and we feel guilty. Somehow Satan always seems to whisper, to find the cracks to get into our lives. But you see, Jesus died not only for our sins, but he also died for the guilt of those sins. We have a way out. Let's look at Psalm 32. In verse 1 it says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And then jump ahead to 5. "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." We have to remember that his accuser, Satan, is not judge, he's not jury, and he's not the prosecutor. Don't let him overwhelm you with guilt. Jesus has taken care of that. So often, in our weakest moments, he comes creeping in, and he takes us down lower. He's the master deceiver. And we forget that all that Christ has done for us. Revelations 12:9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Satan does a great job of tricking us. He makes evil look so appealing. He tells us what our flesh wants to hear. He's an illusionist. We have to remember that Satan really has no power over our lives other than the power that we give him. In your lives, have you ever come across that salesman that was just so good? You know, it's been said that the salesman was so good, he could sell sand to an Arab or an ice cube machine to an Eskimo. I've met them kind before. They come to your house and they're just so good, and they leave, and then an hour later you're wondering, why did I buy those Time Life books off of him? They're just good. They're smooth. But it's an illusion. And that's what Satan does. He's the master salesman. He makes us believe that it's all that. He makes us believe that fame is all that it's cracked up to be. So often we pursue the praise of man, only to find out the more fame you have, the less life you have. He tells us that money will solve all of our problems, just to find out money just causes more problems. His lies are endless. That's why he's called the master deceiver. He's a counterfeit to all that is good. 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." Most likely, Satan's never going to appear in your life as something that is horrible to you. It's always going to be those things that you desire. Sometimes I think Satan does his best work in the church. Look at the pastors that have been so consumed with their own power that they've taken a drastic fall. We've seen a lot on televangelists, on TV. What about Christians that are so consumed with gossip and slander, they ruin the message of Christ? What about churches that put religious tradition ahead of the gospel message? They're furthering the Satan's agenda, because the word is getting through. I read the average church in America has less than 200 members and only sees about 2 people a year coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those are horrible facts. But regardless of the number of people in a congregation, the duty, the message is the same. We should be reaching out. We should be reaching people with a gospel message. We need to preach a clear gospel of grace and put aside all the gimmicks and the other things that are being added today. Satan has fooled us into believing that he is the real thing. So how do we change? How do we recognize the counterfeit? When the banking industry, you put the tellers, you put the bankers with the money. Let them handle it. Let them feel it, look at it, touch it. Grow so accustomed to the real thing that they know when a counterfeit comes in. And we need the same thing. We need to know God's truth, His word, His purpose so well that we can tell the counterfeit from the real. We must become so familiar with Jesus that Satan is easy to recognize when he comes into our lives, when he starts whispering in our ears. We have to know what Satan wants. You know, it's never changed. Satan always wants the same two things. First, Satan wants God's place. Isaiah 14:14, it said, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now that's Satan speaking. But God tells us in the Ten Commandments there should be no other God before us. That Satan wants that place. He knows he can't have it, but he'll try with all of his might to get it. So truth has a very practical application. How do we know when we're being filled with the Spirit or fooled by the devil? It's simple, really. When you have God in first place, He receives all your attention. You do everything that you do for Him. You know, we can have things in our life that we enjoy, things that really make us want to get up in the morning. But they should be God-driven. They shouldn't be in place of God. You see, when Satan has us fooled, those very same things, the things that we can think maybe we ought to be doing, we're doing them for ourselves and not for God. We do it for the praise of others, not for the glory of God. Remember that anything you live for that's not God-driven is idol worship. Selfish pride is one of the greatest tools that Satan has. You see, Satan wants man's praise too. He wants us to bow down before him. In Matthew 4:9 says, and he said, this is Satan, to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Satan tempted Jesus Christ, but his true color showed through. He wants every person's worship. And we may be worshiping him without even recognizing it or even realizing it. We're worshiping Satan when we forget God in a transition or a transaction. Remember when Peter was asked by Jesus, who am I? He said, you are the Christ. See, Peter was sure of who Jesus was. He had faith. But only in a moment he allowed the Satan to creep in. It says in Mark 8, verse 29-33, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter saying, get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus had just blessed Peter with praise. And yet, Peter didn't realize how cunning the devil was. He rebuked Jesus Christ himself for telling the truth. But this is typical of man today. We can go from praising God to cursing our fellow brothers. We can be victorious in work in Christ's name and then turn a hateful heart to those in need. We must be aware of what the enemy wants. So how do you resist the devil? I thought these were so important, I put them on the back of your bulletin. He says, Satan promises the best but pays with the worst. Satan promises honor but pays with disgrace. Satan promises pleasure and pays with pain. Satan promises profit and pays with loss. And Satan promises life and pays with death. It sums up what he wants and what he'll do to get him. But you have to know who to turn to. You know, we've all heard that Satan is clever. He's deceptive. We've heard who we need to turn to, God himself. It's nothing new that I'm standing up here telling you. But how do I actually counter it? How do I actually turn away from the devil? James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. In the original language, the word is oppose. Let him boldly know through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God only, that no, I will not listen to you. You have no power of your own. It's only the power that God grants you. Satan does not like to be opposed. But if you turn him away, he has no other choice. He has to go the other direction. The best thing you can do to resist the Satan is know God's word. You must yield yourself to the Spirit and pray, of course. But you need to know God's word. You need to have that as your foundation, or your walls are going to crumble and are going to come down. Even when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he quoted God's word. And that's our model that we should be following today. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As we look at Satan today, we see his character, we see where he came from, what he hopes to accomplish. But we have to have a key to overcome. And going back to James 4:7, the first four words said, submit therefore to God. We must live humbly. We must show humility toward God. Let him be the ruler of your life. There's no other way. You have no power over Satan other than the word of God and the Spirit of God. Service to God doesn't appeal to the flesh. That's contrary to what we're taught in the world. To bow down to no one, to serve no one but self. But that's not what the Word of God says. Do you guys all know who Samuel Morris is? Well, the story, he was a famous inventor. He was once asked if he ever encountered situations where he didn't know what to do. Morris responded, more than once, and whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding. Of course, we all know Samuel Morse invented the telegraph and was the author of Morse code. He received many honors from his invention, from that one invention of the telegraph. Even though he felt undeserving, he said, I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. Samuel Morse was acknowledging the invention of the telegraph came from God. He said, I was blessed that God chose me to reveal this to mankind. He didn't say I invented it. He said, God used me to reveal it. And I want to ask you today, do you do that in your life? In whatever area your life is. I was wondering that world's fastest man, they call him Bolt, the Bolt. If he acknowledges the fact that someone has to be the world's fastest man, does he acknowledge that God decided it could be him? Or does he take all pride in himself and say, look, I'm the fastest man because of what I did? In your workaday life, do you say, look what I did today? Or do you say, look what God accomplished working through me? Moms, do you acknowledge God working through you to be an influence on your children? Men, you have a responsibility. And I just praise God that Jeff's going to step up and lead this study for men. We cannot say, look at what I did. We have to say, I am the man I am today because God's working in me. Any other thing that we do is Satan. Anything that we own that we take pride and say, I did this, that's Satan. Anytime we turn a blind eye to the needy around us, for whatever reason we can come up with, that's Satan at work. I hope I can have the humility of Samuel Morse and acknowledge every great thing, every small thing, anything done in my life came because God was working. I'd like to look at this church and see accomplishments that we can say, this is God at work. We can resist Satan and say, get behind me, because this is what God wants to do. Let's all stand together. Satan is at work in this world. He is not a cartoon. He's not an idea in our head. He's a created being that was kicked out of heaven because of his arrogance and his pride and his desire to be worshiped. Now he's down here and he's trying to take over our lives. He's whispering in our ear, look at what you've done. Look what we can do. Bow down and worship me. I only serve one God, and that's the God that created me, and that's the God that gives me power. I want to urge you today to take your Bibles and read them. Stand on the Word so we can be victorious. Satan's control can end here today. You just have to make up your mind to take those steps. In a minute, the altar is going to be open. You can come and pray, and you can ask God to give you the strength, the wisdom, the vision to move ahead. Maybe you lack desire to read His Word. Well, you know, you can pray to God about that also. He's ready. He wants to hear from you. God wants to have a conversation with each and every one of you. And if you want changes to start in your life, it has to start right here. And it has to start with you in prayer to God. Whether it's coming to this altar or praying right where you're standing or getting down on your knees at home. Husbands, it's going to take you praying with your wives. with your children. And why is this for the same thing? Change can come. You see, God's in control. We just turn a blind eye to it. But He wants to hear from you. You're called His children for a reason. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for all that You give us. Satan is here and he does go around like a roaring lion. But Father, You give us all we need to resist. And once again, it's up to us to take that step. To stand on Your word. To establish that relationship and turn to You. And Father, it's up to us to do all that we do for Your honor and for Your glory and not of our own. You give so freely of Your love, Your compassion, Your healing. And Father, I just praise You. Just the fact that we get to call You Father. That You think of us as children. Father, I pray for each person here today that You will speak to their hearts. That You will show them the way. And they'll have the desire to draw closer to You. Father, I pray for those that don't know You yet, that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I just pray today will be the day when You will reveal Yourself to them, that they will see You, Father, for who You are. See Jesus Christ for who He is. And Father, it's in the name of Jesus as I come and I pray and ask these things. Amen.